What's up, everybody? It's HVK, and I'm here with Knack. What's going on, buddy?
Hello, how you doing?
So you're listening to American. It's been a minute. So I had my second son, and it's been about 3 weeks. So Knack had some free time, and I don't sleep much anyway because I have a newborn. So here we are. This is going to be our great catch-up episode, just kind of hitting some of the funny shit that's happened while we were gone, and there was quite a bit. I do want to get your thoughts, though. Just kind of, we didn't talk about this, and I just thought about it. Akira Toriyama, dude.
Yep, he did.
68 years old. I know you're not like a big action anime guy, but like, even you got to admit, you know, that's kind of a big loss in terms of anime and manga. Like, obviously, he hasn't done much, as far as I know, outside of Dragon Ball, but the influence is undeniable.
I'll tell you what, I saw people on Twitter that I would never think would say anything. Like, I saw a bunch of, like, pinup models, just these random chicks, their 20s or whatever, and this guy dies, and they're all, like, posting, you know, they're making sad posts about how this guy died. You know, I think that the Dragon Ball is such an influential thing that everybody was kind of, you know, in some way affected by that comic, especially in Japan. And then I saw a lot of other posts of different artists, right? So like Kishimoto, the Naruto guy, Naruto author, and whatever the One Piece guy is, I forget his name, Oda, I think. And they of course had their obituary or whatever to say about him. But everybody kind of knew this guy in some way or form, or was influenced by him, or whatever. So, yeah, I'm not a huge, you know, I'm not huge into the genre, but, I mean, without being into the genre, Dragon Ball is one of the few shows that I've watched, at least the original Dragon Ball. I didn't really get into Z and stuff much yet, but, yeah, so I think it was definitely, I saw more people mourning Toriyama's death than I saw people mourning Abe's death, which I guess was surprising for me. I mean, I guess Abe's just a politician, so people, whatever, who cares? But yeah,
well, I mean, it's a lot of people. I think to especially Americans, he is probably, at least from the manga terms, and I know it's not a one for one comparison, but from like the American perspective, he's kind of like the Stan Lee in that point. Like, he's kind of the one guy that everybody knew, even if you're not into it.
Yeah, that's probably the best comparison you can make. Yeah, Stan Lee, I think.
Like,
there's a lot of older artists out there, and there might be some artists that maybe were, you know, quote unquote better or whatever, but this is like the guy that everybody knew.
I think I said this to you, maybe I said it to one of my other buddies, that he's kind of like Dragon Ball is kind of like the American gateway to anime in a lot of ways. Whether you were like me, the weirdo that was up at 5 a.m. seeing it on like WB11 randomly and you didn't even know what the hell you were watching, or you saw it, I mean, the most common way is probably Cartoon Network's Toonami in like the late 90s, early 2000s. But it seems like there's one of two gateway anime for people that came out of the 90s. It was either Dragon Ball or Pokemon. And those are like the two gateway anime in the West, at least, right? So he's definitely... definitely influential. I don't want to make the whole thing about that, but I think it is worth noting because it is big. I had told you, you know, first you lose Kentaro Miyamura from Berserk, and now Akira Toriyama. I don't know if the they always die in threes thing exists for in Japan with.
If you hear something about the One Piece and the Naruto guy. Friggin' throwing in the towel, then we got some problems.
But this is our catch-up episode, and I want to start and finish with some big ones. So we're gonna start off with a big one. Gamergate 2 is here. Yeah, how old were you when the first Gamergate kicked off? Like circa 2012 to 2014. How old were you back then?
It was 2012 and probably about 18. I was 18, so that I graduated around that time. So I didn't really follow the Gamergate thing too much because I'm not much of a gamer. I was all into anime, Although now, you know, the same nonsense that happened there seems to be coming, you know, here. So I wasn't too aware of it, but I've heard of it, and it's interesting that now we got something else going on.
So I'll give you some background context. So there is a game that was released not that long ago called Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, and it's a piece of shit. That's all you really need to know.
I've seen the comparisons between that one and, like, I think it's Arkham or something, and they compare
So it's not a comparison. The Suicide Squad game takes place within the Arkham Batman universe. Now, if this was just a random game that was like some sort of DC Elseworlds thing, people would probably critique it because the story is stupid, the voice acting is bad, the graphics kind of are bland and whatever. People would still be critiquing it, but it's the fact that it takes place in the Arkham Batman universe that is so... It's one of my favorite video game franchises of all time, right? The four Arkham games, because I consider Arkham Origins to be part of it. And they just kind of, like, destroyed that character of Batman that you see throughout that series, voiced by, obviously, the legendary Kevin Conroy, who you might not be familiar with, but he's, like, the iconic Batman voice actor. And this is kind of how that all goes, and that's why people were so pissed about it. Well, it came out, I guess, that, and I know for people that are familiar with this, this is rehashing everything you already know, but there's a video game narrative consulting company by the name of Sweet Baby Inc. And apparently they've been involved with a lot of games that people have had issue with, such as the God of War, the most recent God of War stuff, Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League, Alan Wake 2, a lot of those types of games. And there was a Steam group that was created because Steam, you know, you always talk about bodybuilding.com as like one of the last free speech bastions. Surprisingly, the Steam forums can kind of be that way to an extent. They created a subgroup called Sweet Baby Inc. Detected. And it was, at the time of this recording, I want to say it was made maybe a week, maybe 5 days prior to when this was recorded. And they have something like 250,000 people as a part of the group. And basically all it does is people just go on that forum and they just list games that Sweet Baby Inc. has apparently consulted for. And it's to tell people to avoid them, because every time you see a game that has potential, but then it has this forced narratives of, for example, in Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, you have, you know, Harley has to have her girl boss moment before she shoots Batman in the face. You have, for no apparent reason, Deadshot, who has been white in two out of the four Arkham games, is suddenly black now, for reasons. All that sort of stuff, right? The random race swaps, the random CRT interjection kind of nonsense. These are these people. If Lara Croft went from like a double D cup to an A cup with a bulge in her pants, Sweet Baby Inc. is probably the reason why. So, of course, Sweet Baby Inc. doesn't like this, because these people, you've seen it with these people, right, dude? Like, whenever you shine the light on the cockroaches always scatter, right? These people don't like when you call attention to them. And if they were, I always do it like this. If you're just a company providing a product or a service, and people are like creating a forum saying, this is what their product or service is, this is what it yields. It's like a Yelp review. You never get mad about the good Yelp reviews, right? But the ones that actually point out your shortfalls, that criticize you, that's what they're mad about. The problem with Sweet Baby Inc., though, is that there is no positives, and it's only criticisms, because every game they touch turns to shit. It's like Trump said, right? Everything woke turns to shit. He's not lying. Well, they did it with
My question is, sorry to interrupt you, but my question is, you know, looking at this from the outside, is what is the point of this company? Like, why does it exist?
That's the real funny thing,
right? You make a video, right? So you have a team, you have a developer, you got artists and story writers and this and that. Where does this random ass company come in?
Well, that's the funny thing. They are a narrative consulting company, so they develop the narrative for the games, which was kind of always the point of the lead designer. Like, if I go back through video game history, right, and I go all the way back to one of the first great games that have, like, that I remember playing that had, like, a story to it, Final Fantasy VII, right? You have Fire Emblem, you have Final Fantasy, Secrets of Mara, whatever. Like, going back to Final Fantasy VII, these sorts of companies didn't exist. This is a new phenomenon since, like, I think Sweet Baby Inc. was founded in 2018, 2019, somewhere around there. And they didn't exist.
I don't understand the point. Like, this doesn't make any sense. Isn't the point of a studio or developer to have writers?
Here's why this company exists. There is literally, it's a 20-second clip. I can embed it in the description of this this episode just so people can see it, from the CEO of Sweet Baby Inc. that's basically up at a podium at some sort of, she's giving some sort of presentation somewhere, it doesn't matter, but she basically says, if you work at a video game company and you would like our services, you know, tell your higher-ups, and if they don't like it, threaten them. We want to make them afraid of us. We want to make them, they basically sound like domestic terrorists, and it's just like, hey, if you work at a video game company, and you happen to be woke because you're retarded, I suppose, and you want to add these narratives to a game that doesn't have them, you can threaten these people and make them scared of us because we can give you some sort of a bad public image. It literally exists just to add the current thing style narrative, dude. So, like, you're talking about it is, what does this add to the story? It doesn't. And the companies that add, you know, that consult with this firm are basically
they're not owned by Disney.
Well, frankly, you know, the reason why this is like, I know the hashtag Gamergate 2 has been floated with this one. But the reason why I think it's like the Gamergate 2 thing is because this is like the successful Feminist Frequency. Feminist Frequency, I don't know if you know this, was a website made by Anita Sarkeesian. After her and Zoe Quinn, these bitches got airtime in front of the UN to talk about how women are portrayed in video games, dude. That's how you can know that the UN is a useless organization. Like, these two women went up there and complained that women in video games have large breasts, narrow waists, and big butts, and yeah. And the UN decided that this was something worth hearing about. And Sweet Baby Inc. is apparently the successful Feminist Frequency. What's funny is that the rise of companies like this also coincide with the massive, massive layoffs at video game companies that everyone's like, oh God, won't somebody think of the poor video game companies? And it's like, maybe if you stop turning out shit games, maybe.
Say, how much do these people, I guarantee you, they don't fuck up your game for free. They're like, look, we'll come in, we'll destroy your game, but it's going to cost money. And I bet you they're getting paid a lot of money. You know,
oh, for sure.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars. I wish I could do that. I wish I could just put a sign up on Craigslist or whatever and be like, I will destroy your car for a fee. So you call me over, right? And then I got my tools. I got my, like, a hammer and shit. I got drills. And then you just pay me an exorbitant price. And then I just grab your car and I beat the shit out of it. I drill all over everything. That's basically what it sounds like to me that this company is doing. People are paying to fuck up their game.
yeah. I mean, really.
It doesn't make any sense.
Really. And what's funny is there's a Kotaku article and there's a subsection in Kotaku. And I don't know, for those who don't know Kotaku, it's basically, I don't even know how to describe it. It's basically games propaganda, like just running interference for this place. But there's a subsection here. It's like, Sweet Baby Inc. isn't forcing diversity. It's happening naturally. Yes. Yes, we are naturally moving towards women that look like men and games that always interject race politics and all kinds of stuff like that. Here, I'll just read a little bit. Though these kinds of social media posts argue that companies like Sweet Baby Inc. somehow force game studios to include diverse characters and storylines, the reality is vastly different. Oh, yes, please inform me. I would love to never be late again, Kotaku. Sweet Baby Inc. is a narrative design company, meaning most of its work is focused on writing stories and dialogue. They are not a DEI consultancy firm. Again, this goes back to your point. Lead designers have always existed. These things have never existed my entire life. I have never heard of narrative consulting companies. The video game companies themselves always have people for that. They keep it in-house so they don't have all these excess overhead expenses. That means they ensure a game...
It sounds to be, I'll tell you what it is. It just sounds to be like, you know, if you have people at a company, like what's the name of that chick that got made fun of, or chick, that lady that got made fun of on South Park, doing the same thing.
Which one? Kathleen Kennedy?
Yes, that one, right? Kathleen Kennedy with Disney, right? So she's got her strategy, I guess, and it sucks. It's terrible. So eventually, you would hope that the company or the shareholders are like, all right, we're just going to fire this bitch. She's gone. Boom. Right? So it's targetable. But when you have one of these firms, right, it's more nebulous. So, like, it sounds to me like it's just a way for them to protect themselves and add a layer of separation between people who could get them away from production.
So
versus if they were hired, that's what it looks like to me.
So hang on, they kind of, if you read between the lines a little bit, they kind of reveal what they do here a little bit. But anyway, that means they ensure games plot points make logical sense and are satisfying to players. Well, they're doing a bang up job with that one. And the characters speak and behave in consistent ways. Sure. Narrative designers may also provide a final round of polish like a Hollywood script doctor. For example, the team worked on Suicide Squad long after the story was written. And even then, they joined just to write in-game ads, audio logs, and NPC barks. So this is where you get something like, for example, you have the profile for Green Lantern. Now, you're not a comic guy, so let me explain. The Green Lantern Corps are basically space cops, right? Deadshot, obviously, is miraculously black all of a sudden. He's been white in two of the previous Arkham Universe games. He's suddenly black. He talks about Green Lantern as if Green Lantern is a race traitor because Green Lantern is black. And because John Stewart, who is Green Lantern, happens to be a member of the Green Lantern Corps, which is a space police force, effectively, he considers John Stewart to be a race traitor. This is what they mean by we write the logs and things like that, right? They interject these little things in there. And then we actually have a quote from her. Sweet baby, the CEO, Kim Belair, continues, Sweet Baby is, at its core, a narrative development company. That means anything from script writing to narrative design to narrative direction to story reviews. One of the things that we do is offer cultural consultations or authenticity consultations. For us, that generally means that we might be asked to look at a story if there's a character in it who is marginalized in a certain way, and the studio wants it to blah, 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 blah. So basically what this means is they'll turn around and they'll say, hey, we wrote some stuff for this game, right? Let's say we wrote this character profile for the Green Lantern, how they look at it. However, this has to be read by Deadshot as if Deadshot was black. So we're not telling you Deadshot has to be black. But what we're saying is that this is written it from the perspective as if Deadshot was black. You get what I mean?
Yep, sort of. I'm struggling. I understand why, right? It's politics. For whatever reason, right? We've gotten to the point where you can't make something. You can't make
Of course.
Without it being approved by these fucking wackadoos. Right.
Yeah.
And what's crazy to me is that they don't sell. So the question becomes, what's the purpose? Right. And we've talked about it before. It's a religious thing. It's not about money. They don't care about money. They could lose all the money possible.
Well, to an extent,
as they can spread their dogma or whatever. Right. That's all it is.
To an extent, it is also a money thing because they know that a lot of these niche hobbies, right? Video games, comics, what have you. A lot of people, how many people have been bitching about the MCU stuff? And I know people personally who have been bitching about the MCU stuff, but they'll still watch the next movie. They'll still watch the next thing that comes out on Disney Plus. They'll still watch the next thing. They'll still buy the next game, even though they know it's going to be bad, and they still pay for it. That's what they're banking on.
It's because they have no alternatives.
Yeah, it's because they know you're addicted. And part of it is, if you want these things to get better, you have to speak. I always say, speak with your wallet, right? If something's not good, stop paying for it, and eventually they will change their tune. Now, Suicide Squad, just for reference, the Kill the Justice League game, a lot of people, I guess, bought it, but their refund rate was, I guess, somewhere in the 800% higher than the average refund request rate for a video game, because people were that unsatisfied with it. And it's like, okay, so it's still, I guess, in some sense, technically didn't make that money. But at the same time, it's like, you still bought the game in the first place. Just don't buy the damn game.
Other people will be, well, what am I supposed to do then? What am I supposed to play?
There's plenty of buy Helldivers. Play Helldivers. It's $40 instead of like $80 or whatever it is.
Right? You have a bunch of, right? Again, I'm not a gamer guy, but I know there's a bunch of indie games all over the place. There's foreign games that are made, you know, maybe not for like platforms or whatever, but I know for anything computer, there's games that are made overseas, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, the thing is, it's about the convenience thing, right? We're living in the convenience economy now. So
well, yeah.
If it's not on Netflix, if it's not on Steam, if you can't like click the button and download it, then it's too hard. It's too hard to play.
That convenience economy is going to play into the next thing. But I will say you are absolutely correct, in my opinion, where you say it is a religious thing for these people too. We've talked about this, you and I, in private, also on, you know, in episodes where these people are religious zealots. Like, this whole thing is a religion. And when you look at it through the lens of there's no, why would they do this? It's not pragmatic. They're not trying to be pragmatic. Like you said, they're spreading a dogma. Mm-hmm. But it's funny you talk about the convenience. I'll just use that to bleed into the next one, because I don't want to. So many people have released videos and podcasts and things on the whole Sweet Baby Inc. Gamergate 2 thing. I just want to move to the next thing. And this actually came from my buddy. His nickname is Toaster. That goes all the way back to college. There's a story behind it. Not going to get into that, but I've referenced him on the show before. And this goes into digital media, right? You're talking about convenience economy, digital media. And he sent me a couple of headlines over the last couple of weeks that I laugh because he's just like, wow, you were really right about this. This one comes from the Metro. It says PS5 owners lose access to hundreds of games as digital purchases wipe from their accounts. And he sent me another one. Let me see if I can pull it up real quick. Here we go. This one is from Ars Technica. Sony is erasing digital libraries that were supposed to be accessible forever. And these two articles are about a month apart. Digital media is a scam. I'm just going to be honest. I've said this 100,000 times. It's a scam. Unless you have the physical disc.
Well, I was going to say, no, the DRM is the scam. You can have something digital, right? You can have a file, and it's yours, right? Like, I remember playing some video games, like visual novels and shit, 15 years ago. But I have the files. I can play them on any computer I want and copy-paste them. The problem is the DRM, right? If you don't have the player or whatever in order to play it, then it's not, you don't own it. It's not yours.
You're right? Talking about cloud-based systems?
Even if it's not cloud-based, it's going to need some sort of connection to the internet. Let's say that you download a game. Some games, I remember, you would download them, and then the DRM would be that it needs an internet connection to check whether or not the version is legit. And if it can't check through that internet connection, then the game will not play. You will not be able to play the game. That's why people crack the games, and then they upload them on torrents and this and that. But, you know, if you have any sort of, I guess they always use copyright protection as the excuse, of course. But if you can't physically copy and view either the movie or the game or whatever it is, then you don't own it.
Nope.
You know, you're just borrowing it. It's like Blockbuster or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Not yours. So, which is fine if you know that, but just don't tell yourself that you own the game, because you don't. You don't own the game.
Well, that's... So there's two arguments to this. One is I remember people getting mad when Netflix would take stuff off streaming. And streaming is literally you don't own it, right? You're paying a subscription service to rent stuff, even if it's in real time, but you're renting stuff from Netflix, right? Like, you literally do not own it. Mm-hmm. And secondly, let's say I go on Amazon Video, and let's say I buy John Wick, a movie that's actually good, right? And I buy it digitally. And let's say Amazon loses the rights from, I don't remember the movie studio that made it, but let's just say Amazon loses the rights to it. They are forced to remove it from their, to stop providing it. So I spent, you know, let's say $20 on this digital copy that just gets deleted overnight. Or let's say there's something in John Wick that they decide out of nowhere is offensive and they just edit that scene out. Right? Because these things will update. It's on their cloud system and it's just gone. It's just now a let's just say they book burned, for lack of a better term, the film by doing that. You don't own, like, I have said it so many times. I know I'm not the only one that said it. I know a lot of other people with much larger platforms than I have said it. You don't own physical media unless you physically have it in your hand, or you digitally have the core files, if you will, on your system, which that's the other thing they're moving to, right? With with everything being moved more and more towards cloud-based systems, have you noticed that computers are way dumber than they used to be like 10, 15 years ago?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can't save anything on virtually on a computer anymore, and it's like, it's all saved online, you know? Like, don't get me wrong, the convenience is nice.
I mean,
but
you can still, though, that's the thing, right? You can still do everything, you know, on your local storage. The problem is, you know, people got so used to using OneDrive, this and that, because again, it's convenient, right? It's, you can go to a different computer or your phone or whatever, your file is there. That's perfectly fine, and I'm not against doing that. But if you don't have, you know, a hard drive, physical hard drive with your files or whatever, I mean, anything could happen, right? You could lose the service, whatever, right?
Yeah, you get banned. You
know, so, if, for example, like my wife, she uses Google Photos, right? Because she takes about 100 photos a minute. So she needs a lot of fucking storage to take all these photos of the kids and everything. And we pay for Google Photos. I think it gives her like 2 terabytes of storage for something like $5 a month, which is fine. Like, I'll pay for that. However, you know, I told her the other day, I'm like, look, first off, I don't want to keep paying $5 a month for the rest of time. And I guarantee you in 10 years, it won't be $5 a month. It's going to be much more. Right. And, you know, if I ever want to stop paying for that or whatever, we need to have this on a hard drive. We need to download all these photos and videos, put them on hard drives and have copies or whatever. Because if you don't, then you're going to lose them. You know, you don't have control of Google's servers. They could raise the price or whatever. And that's what happened the other day. My credit card expired for the account, and she had a big scare. She thought she was going to lose all the photos. She wasn't, because they keep it for 2 years, even after you don't pay it anymore. But she thought like we're going to lose all the photos because the payment lapsed. Well, that's why, you know, you wouldn't be worrying about that if we just had something on a hard drive. So yeah, I agree with you.
So yeah. Digital media is a scam. Next one. Based Finland. Oh, I think I told you about
it. Before you move on, here, so we can scare people. Here's probably the best example I can think of the digital media thing, right?
Like, I'm in the business of trying to scare people?
Well, this is going to scare all of the, I guess, the cultured listeners or whatever. But I do remember there's a website that there was a website, no longer, which is managed by DMM, which is Japan's biggest media conglomerate. It's something like, what can I think of? I don't know if Comcast is right. It's just a huge media conglomerate. They have
like
a
AT&T?
Lot of different stuff. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they have like from kids shows to movies to music. And then they also have the pinup section, the grab your, and they have the pornography, right? The adult video. So they had a website that was based for foreigners called r18.com. It's only for foreigners to buy Japanese porn, basically. And people would go on this website, they make an account, they'd buy movies that were proprietary. They have like a player and shit. And then something like last year or 2 years ago, they just suddenly shut it down. They're like, we're tired of dealing with fucking foreigners. We don't give a fuck. So they shut the website down. And like, you would think people were dreaming of suicide. They're like, oh my God, what am I going to do now? Like my thousands of hours.
My yellow fever is spiking and I can't treat it.
It's now gone. But it's true though. Some of these people probably spent thousands of dollars on this fucking, on this shit. And it's just gone.
For something they don't own.
Sorry. Exactly. It sucks for you. Because again, you go to Japan, you can buy the DVDs or the Blu-rays or whatever, they're yours. But when you're on the website, it's not yours. But you're paying the same price.
It's kind of like, so right. I have sunk, for example, right, like World of Warcraft. I have sank a lot of money into that game when I was playing it. I played it from 2004 to like roughly 2010, and then I picked it back up, you know, in like 2015 or 16 or whatever it was, and then I played it right up until, you know, my first kid was born, and you know, it was like $15 a month, and then if a new expansion came out, that was like $60. But here's the thing, like you said, you could put all this money into it, right? And they have microtransactions in it, which they never had when it first came out, but they have microtransactions in it and all this stuff. You could pay for, you know, race changes or faction changes or, you know, whatever it is. You put all that money into the game, but if Blizzard decided tomorrow that they were like, you know what, we're done with World of Warcraft, they shut it down. It's like all that money that you put into it.
Oh, yeah.
You have nothing, right? Like you're spending money on nothing. Or like, I know Call of Duty Warzone is popular, right? And it's like, I mean, people buy the skins for the soldiers and the guns and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to throw money at the skins. And it's like, okay, but what happens when they stop supporting the game? Again, you're like, oh yeah, I own this now. No, you don't. You really don't. Because you don't have, like you say, you don't own the servers, you don't own the game. So when they decide to shut the game off, it's gone. Like,
I mean, that happened, but it's a great example. That happened with RuneScape. RuneScape was always trying to copy World of Warcraft, which I never understood, because people didn't play RuneScape because it was like World of Warcraft. They played it because it wasn't the World of Warcraft. The shitty graphics, was part of the game, right? It wasn't so complicated. World of Warcraft is too complicated. Like, I look at that game, like, oh, there's just too much shit going on.
It's really not complicated.
Yeah. It's like, well, it's just, you got all this shit and the spells and this, and it's like, ah, fuck. I just want to click on a rock and the dude mines. The dude mines water. That's all I want to do.
I just want to grill, bro.
Click the rock. And basically, yeah. And I can just, I used to do my homework while playing RuneScape. I would like do my homework and then just keep, I would have an auto clicker on the stone or the rock or whatever and just mine. So when they decided to try to become bootleg World of Warcraft, they got rid of the original RuneScape and that was it. Like, sucks for you. All your progress and shit, it was gone. they lost most of their players, but yeah, so that's a good example.
Anyway. All right, so next one, Based Finland. I know this is something that I had sent you probably about a month ago. Near and dear to our hearts, that Finland is encouraging civilian gun ownership. Setting up government-funded gun ranges and things like that. Now, there are some regulations.
Yeah, but there are some European countries like that, yeah.
They're setting up certain regulations, right? Like, you can't have... It's mostly for pistols and shotguns and whatnot. They're very heavily regulating rifles, but I just wanted to point it out and congratulate everybody from Finland that... Congratulations, your country has finally recognized that you do have some sort of God-given right to defend yourself. It's a shame.
It's happening with the whole Russia thing, right?
Yeah, it's happening because of the Russia thing, and they want civilians to be capable of defending the country if Russia were to invade that far. Which, again, you know, just like we saw in Ukraine, just like we've seen in Israel when they just started handing guns out to everyone, there is a reason why the Second Amendment exists, ladies and gentlemen. And it's to make sure that shit don't happen, and it makes sure that you are... What did the Japanese say? There's a rifle behind every blade of grass. I think it was Yamamoto that said that, right? And, what's that?
Yeah, it's happening on Yamamoto.
And, yeah, that's why I remember a famous quote from him that said, basically something tantamount to saying, you're insane if you think you can invade mainland United States. Like, you're out of your mind.
Yes.
And, I think we need to move back towards that. So, Based Finland, good job. This one's going to be even nearer and dearer to your heart because it has to do with models, and I know you like models. The death of Sports Illustrated.
I like plastic models, and I like human models.
Well, this has to deal with human models, and this is the death of Sports Illustrated. This actually happened a while ago, and you were busy for a while, and I never got to talk to you about it, but I know because of your love for the Japanese models, this was back in January. Sports Illustrated had massive layoffs, like nearly their entire employee base, and then basically filed for bankruptcy, like complete collapse. And, you know, I am not going to celebrate people losing their jobs. However, I will celebrate a company getting what it fucking deserves from doing stupid shit, because when you're Sports Illustrated, right, you have a real simple job. Talk about sports, and you put attractive women into your swimsuit edition. You don't do fat women. You don't do men that are claiming to be women tucking their penises into bikini bottoms and shit like that, right? That's what Sports Illustrated did, and they went the way of Victoria's Secret. The problem was in the day and age of the internet, where I can just Google, for example, if I want to Google attractive models, I can just Google it and get it for free. They were already a bit of a dying enterprise, right? And apparently those ESG bucks just don't quite pay out enough to pay the bills, and they fell apart. Sucks to be you. You should have. It's just like Bud Light. You should have paid attention to who your target demographic was and stuck with that, and you'd probably still exist.
I gotta mention two things. So you mentioned that Sports Illustrated kind of, you know, it was dying anyway because people go online now and everything, which is true. There's something that to me still kind of blows my mind. So if you travel to Japan today, 2024, right? They still have a lot of bookstores, and I'm not talking about like Barnes and Nobles. Like, how many bookstores in the U.S.? Barnes and Nobles.
Barnes and Nobles, right? And I think Borders still exists.
Borders is gone. No, Borders is gone. I haven't seen a Borders in years.
Then it's basically gone. Barnes and Noble and Amazon.
Barnes and Noble because they're owned by Amazon. That's the only reason. They're basically just Amazon storefront books.
Are they?
They're owned by
Amazon. I didn't know that.
Amazon bought them out a long time
ago. Anyway, well, that's a topic for another time.
At the time, I think Borders was still a thing. There were some other competitors, but basically Amazon was like,
Waltons and whatnot.
Will be Barnes and Nobles. That's why they sell Kindles. I don't know if you noticed that. You go to Barnes and Nobles and they push
Kindles. Yeah, that's true. I thought they were just like associates, but whatever, continue.
No, but yeah, so bookstores are pretty much dead at this point in the U.S. And most countries, I would say, are similar countries. Not so in Japan. There's still a lot of bookstores for new books, a lot of bookstores, especially used bookstores, right? And of all types, right? You got bookstores that are general, consumer. You got bookstores that are only for nerds. You got bookstores that are only for anime or doujinshi, whatever. And, you know, you think about, hey, just like everybody else, they could move to digital, right? But they don't. I don't know why, right? And I don't want to do the thing that so many people do. It's like, oh, so you know, because Japanese are different, they're aliens or whatever. That's such a lazy explanation for everything.
Maybe they actually give a shit about private property rights.
Well, I don't even think it's private. I mean, I won't say that. I think they just I think a lot of hobbyists enjoy having a physical object. Like, yeah, you can buy whatever digitally, but it's not, again, it's not yours. It's not yours, right?
So let me,
having a magazine or whatever is not the same as looking on a screen, whatever you're looking at, or a book.
I will say, let me interject for a second, and I think this is where Japan does succeed as an American outside looking in, right? I know you're American too, but you're far more ingrained into the Japanese culture than I am. What I've noticed just from what you've shown me with a lot of the Japanese models and shit, like if a Japanese model, pick one, doesn't matter who, she's doing a photo shoot, it almost seems like they make an event out of it, right? Like, they're like, holy shit. It's like the Playboy
Centerfold. They make an event centerfold. Out of the release.
It's like the Playboy Centerfold kind of thing, right? Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's like a big deal because they don't do it every month. And when they do it, they release, as far as I can tell, a limited number of physical copies, right?
Yes.
So what I've noticed, and I just did a quick like Amazon/Google search of this. What I've noticed is they'll do like the physical release and they'll do a certain number of copies, 10,000, whatever. I'm picking an arbitrary number. It doesn't matter. But then you could also still buy the magazine digitally, right?
Yep. So that's what I was going to say, right? So you still have, like, we're already on the topic of models, right? So pinups, right? Which have gone the way of the freaking dodo. In the West, I guess, unfortunately. So you got dozens of different magazines. You got Young Animal. Young Jump is actually more of a manga magazine, but they always have some pinup in there.
Yumi, I'm pronouncing that wrong. She just did something in there?
You did it right. Yes.
Which one was right?
Yeah,
Umi?
Young Jump, I think. Umi. And Young Jump, I think she's the cover girl for whatever release they just had, because again, Young Jump is mostly manga. They're the same company as Shonen Jump, but Shonen Jump is for more young guys versus Young Jump is for more older guys. So she's the cover girl, right? She catches your eye, because in addition to the manga, you're like, oh, who's this girl? Maybe you don't want to buy it for the manga, but you see the girl, you buy the magazine, right? We used to do that.
I was gonna say video game magazines used to do shit like that.
We used to advertise with good looking women and men. You know, it's not just women, men too, right? Pretend like we don't.
But, well, they still do for the romance novels.
Yes, that's the funny thing, right? You go into Walmart.
They still have the shirtless dude with the six pack.
Yeah, the shirt, just generic dudes. Yeah, I've seen those. Mostly black, too. It's mostly like black novels. Like black authors for black consumers, I've noticed.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen plenty of half-naked white... Anyway.
Well, there's dozens of Grab Your magazines, right? And there's even more... There's, man, probably over... If you take everything, hundreds of anime or manga magazines. And they're all publishing their own thing. Right? But back into the topic of pinups, you could go buy the... To a newsstand and buy the magazine for whatever. Let's say that you follow some chick and you can buy it, perfect, no problem. But also, that will be released. That magazine will be released digitally on Amazon. They call it a MOOC, a magazine book, digital thing. You can buy it on Amazon. Amazon sells it or whatever other website. And guess what? No DRM. It's just a straight PDF. It's yours. Maybe Amazon does the Kindle thing, but if you buy it on another website, just a PDF file. But then. An actual photo book, right, for whatever model, it's not every day. Like, they might have a shoot every couple weeks or months at a magazine, but when it's a photo book, like you said, it's a whole thing. And they'll advertise it, and they'll do an event, and you can go and get signed copies. If you get a ticket to one of these events, like, she'll sign the copy for you, right? So there's just more of a culture around the physical product versus... The U.S., I think we've kind of lost that. That's not really a thing anymore. It's everybody
so that
just
brings
buys
me...
it online. The fad of the day. It's like, oh, everybody's playing this video game. Oh, cool. Play the game. Oh, new video game. Everybody forget about that shit. New video game. Okay, cool. New video game. And then they just move on. Everybody's like, they're like locusts. And they stop forgetting. They forget about
well, that's the that's the consume product, get excited for next product meme, right? But I will say that in a lot of respects, especially with the rise of a lot more independent media, you know, not releasing a comic book every month, you know, doing things like that. I wouldn't be shocked if we see a surprise, a shift in that sort of marketplace as well, because not long after Sports Illustrated collapses, we get the release of the movie Madam Web, which about 7 people watched. And there's apparently a woman in Madam Web. She's an actress by the name of Sydney Sweeney. And I didn't know who this woman was, but she apparently made a stir hosting Saturday Night Live, and she went up there with a very low cut top and everything, and she opened up with the joke of, to my understanding, something to the effect of, well, if my monologue bombs, I just plan on showing my boobs. And she basically did into this whole thing that leftists obviously hate, because I'm just going to call it like it is, these are the people that hate attractive women, and she basically dresses the way she dresses and says the thing she says because she likes to attract men. She likes the fact that men find her attractive. She enjoys being attractive. She takes care of herself for that reason. And of course, this flies in the face of everything of third wave feminism and modern leftism in general. So the fact that we're getting back to that, and it, you know, she's not going to apologize for these things. People aren't afraid to be canceled. Women in particular aren't afraid to quote unquote be canceled. Maybe we can finally get back to the era of like the 80s where you have, you know, the bikini models and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Because we kind of cornered the market there for a couple of decades, and then we just sort of lost it.
Well,
and
you
I
know,
think
a lot of the stuff that I've noticed that I like from Japan, such as, like you said, the models, right? A lot of music, a lot of shows, right? Cartoons, animation. That was just them taking stuff they saw from the U.S., putting their own twist on it.
Yeah,
making it better in a way, and somehow we lost that, but they kept it going, right? It's like Japan's stuck in time almost, right? They're stuck in time when, if we think about like how things just get shittier as time goes on, not so there, right? Because
maybe they
we basically invented pinups, right? Back in like the 40s, 30s, and 40s, we had one of the best pinup artists. I think his name was Sanchez. Now he would, I don't think he ever, I mean, I'm sure he used like live models for motivation or what's the word?
Inspiration.
Yeah, models for whatever. Yeah, inspiration. But that Sanchez guy, he made some really good drawings. And then we also had actual flesh and blood models that would have photo shoots in there. That went away because of feminism. It like you said, after the 80s.
Well, I even showed you. I even showed. We were talking about this.
Well, now we have
a couple of days ago.
Models, which I don't know.
No, that's dumb. I'm talking about like getting back to, you know, it's like a big deal. I even showed you. You remember I sent you the. We were talking about. I forget what we were talking about. I sent you the picture of the one girl, and I was like, well, this is the girl I had a poster of when I was in college, Brooke Burke.
Yeah.
And it's like, she posed in like GQ and Maxim and all kinds of stuff. And it was like a big fucking deal that she posed in those magazines. Like, that was, you know, some of their highest selling issues and whatnot. Like, maybe we can get back to that. You know, maybe this is a sign that the winds are shifting. People want attractive women again. Women want to be attractive again.
I'd rather that than fucking see this nonstop bullshit about, you know, people's fucking identities and gender. I don't give a fuck. I don't care. Unfortunately, in society, we have to maintain a level of civility, right? But I almost want to just tell people, like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about your fucking whatever identity. You're ugly as fuck. I don't want to look at you.
That's technically
not what I want to look at.
Tolerance, by definition, dude, doesn't mean that you applaud or accept something. It means that you are civil with someone. Like, this person's ugly. I don't want to see them in a bikini. I can disassociate myself from it. Now it's like, well, if you don't like the fact that this fat woman's in a bikini, you're fat phobic. You need to celebrate what she does. And it's like, no, that's not what tolerance is. They redefine tolerance. But it's funny you said that, because that actually flows into the next topic. You ready for this? A Chicago cop has filed a lawsuit against the Chicago Police Department because they refuse to let him change his race. He is part black, part Egyptian, because apparently Egyptian is an ethnicity. But then I guess for Chicago PD purposes, there's no other ethnicity other than African, because the dozen or so African ethnicities don't exist in these left wing hellholes. But he did.
Well, Arabic people just count as white. There's no category for Arabic. It's just white. What else do they fit in? White or black?
Well, the funny thing is, so this guy had a 23andMe or some shit like that done, right? And it came back that he was like 1 or 2% white. And he wanted to change his, I guess, his company profile with the police department that had his race listed as Egyptian/black. He wanted it to say white. Because and his name is like Muhammad Al-Fuz or some very, very Irish Catholic name. And they refused, and he's suing the company. And his premise is, so wait a minute, if I came in tomorrow and said that I am a woman, you would let me change my docket, my profile, whatever, to reflect that. But if I come in tomorrow and say that I'm white, you won't let me do that. And he goes, something to the effect of, I still have a penis, but I can call myself a woman. Just because my skin is dark, you won't let me call myself white. And I think it's brilliant, because we finally have police departments or, you know, people in these positions. And it's even better that he's not white, right? If a white guy was to do it, they would just be like, oh my God, evil white man. But the fact that it's not a white dude kind of makes it a little better, because it's like, what are you going to say to him? Like, what are you going to say to him? Like,
they can't say anything, because then they would go against whatever nonsense, you know. They have to choose, like, what is, again, it's the totem pole. Who is more oppressed, right?
Yeah.
So it's all nonsense. I
can't believe people buy into
this shit.
I don't like the focus on it,
but it's true. It's so stupid that
yes.
You have to focus on it, because
you have to call it out, otherwise you let it. No. We thought it was going to be isolated back in 2010, and that all this retardation would be, you know, kept on Tumblr, where they were like, there's 84 genders and you could be a cat person and all this other shit. But now we're in the 2024 and hell is real and we're living in it, where we don't know what a man and a woman is. And, you know, everything's a social construct, which means that everything's fluid except for skin color. Apparently that's race is apparently a social construct, but you can't change it. Makes a lot of sense. I just like it that it's pointing out how stupid this shit is, because I don't know. But
I always said that if you can change your gender, right? Which, you know, gender is different from sex. It's not. It's the same fucking shit.
It's the same thing.
Nobody's been able to point out to me. It's like, well, it's the expression. The other one's the physical. It's the same shit.
Yeah,
you know,
way
if
back.
If you have a dude who's really feminine, right? You know, he might
who's
be
really
a feminine
what?
Dude. He might be a feminine. He might be a feminine man, you might be a Tom girl or whatever you want to call it, right?
Tom but girl? Still, dude,
you never heard that term?
Right? No, but
Tomboy, you got...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not very common, but I guess it's a thing, right?
We just call them soy boys these days, dude.
I guess so. Well, you know, me and you talked about the Bridget, right? The Guilty Gear.
The Guilty Gear character?
Character, right? How
oh,
now
God.
He's a trans woman. And dude, people are pissed because you know what? Bridget was always a dude. It was always a dude who acted, dressed, and everything like a woman, right? Because of some reason, the story that doesn't really matter. And people liked that. That was the character. He's just an effeminate man. But it's still a man. No, now it's like, no, it doesn't make any sense, right? Because how many times were we told growing up, like, oh, you know, just because you're a boy doesn't mean you can't play with dolls. Or just because you're a girl doesn't mean you can't be into, you know, I don't know, fixing cars or whatever.
Well, now they tell you you're trans.
Now, if you have a little boy playing with Barbies, oh, well, no, he's actually a trans. He's actually a woman. What?
It doesn't
make sense. It doesn't make any sense. It's like it cancels each other out, right? And so the whole gender sex thing is so stupid because it's the same thing, right? But I'm moving away.
Well, basically, here's a kicker with the racial thing, and this is why I think the race thing is particularly stupid. So there's a host on The View. Her name's Sunny something. Doesn't matter. Nobody watches The View if they have two brain cells to rub together. But she was on this show where I guess it's like a Roots, I forget the name of this show exactly, where they like do a genetic test for you and then they look at your family's history and background, whatever. And she always talks about how she's a proud, you know, half Latina, half black, whatever. Well, turns out her family came from Spain. Spain is very white for people that are retarded and think Spain is in South America for some reason. Her family owned slaves. Now, let that sink in. I'm pausing for effect here. Her family owned slaves. She claims that she is black and Hispanic and a proud black Hispanic woman, black Tina, whatever the fuck nonsense she would probably come up with. And this is literally God saying, like, all right, fine, you want to be stupid? Here you go. Your family owns slaves. All you do is complain about white people and that they own slaves. Guess what? You're actually part white and you own slaves. And it just goes to show you that the whole racial purity thing that people do, like, oh, well, if you're black in America, or if you're this, or if you're that, and we need to have reparations for black people. There's probably a fair few amount of black people in this country that if you trace their lineage, they own slaves. They're part white and they own slaves. What are they going to do? Pay people reparations to themselves?
People refuse to believe they weren't very common, but there was black slave owners.
Well, there were black slave owners. I'm not even talking about that, though, because it's just the racial purity thing, right? Like, I'm white or I'm black. Like, who fucking cares? Especially in the United States, dude. Like, everybody's goddamn white.
I'll tell you something. The U.S. is so obsessed with race.
It really is.
It's a newer thing, but they are so obsessed with race. You know, other countries view the world in terms of either nationalities or ethnicities, right? You go to Europe, right? And I'm not saying the Europeans are the smartest people ever. But
they're not.
They view the world in terms of, like, you know, English or German or whatever, right?
Well, that's literally what this country is founded on, a civil nationalism, a civic nationalism, a civic identity.
Well, and they view Americans as, you know, just this melting pot, because it is, right? Everybody's kind of mixed up here. Same thing with Latin America. But then the U.S., and this is the government's fault, because the government is the one that came up with this bullshit. The government classifies everybody in the country and in the world, because they do this with foreigners too. They classify everybody on the planet as one of five groups. You're either white, black, Asian, Pacific Islander, or American Indian, whatever the fuck that means. or Alaska Native, I remember that as well, or something like that. And I think there's one more. Am I missing one? I think that was it. I think, yeah, Asian, and then, like,
because Hispanics,
Indian, Pacific Islander.
Because even Hispanic, they say Hispanic black or Hispanic white.
Well, because Hispanic is always a separate thing. Like, you used to only be able to choose, like, one, right? It's like, choose one race, white, black, Asian, Pacific Islander, Native American. And then you would have next to it ethnicity. And then ethnicity would have one option, which was Hispanic or nothing. That's it, right? So you could choose like white Hispanic, black Hispanic, Pacific Islander Hispanic, whatever. And they put everybody into these like five groups. And it's absolutely ridiculous because you think about like some dude from American Samoa, right? Some person from Alaska, and some dude from the Seminole tribe of Florida. What the hell do they have in common?
Well, I particularly like it more what the DOD does, where they're like, we have Asian Pacific Islander Month, and it's like, what do the Japanese and Samoans have in common? Like, where do you people get this stuff?
Well, I'm just keeping it like in house, right? I'm just keeping it to natives of either states or territories, right? So some dude from Samoa is nothing ethnically, you know, similar to a Seminole guy from Florida. Nothing at all. But they're placed in the same group, right? They're placed in the same group. It's stupid. And then it's even worse when they apply this to foreigners. So recently I had family coming from Japan, right? They came to visit. So in order to visit, they need to be vetted by military, blah, blah, to get into the base. Okay, perfect. No problem. So the application form that you have to do to get vetted, name, address, passport number, all logical stuff to do a background check. Guess what? They also need race and ethnicity. They also needed height and weight. So that was fun to ask my cousin, who's a female, or cousin-in-law, I'm sorry, who's a female. Yeah, so how much do you weigh? Need to know how fat you are for the background check.
The government needs to know.
And it was, and she thought it, she, you know, she saw the form and she thought it was so silly that they have a race there. And it's like, well, what is the point of this? I don't understand.
I don't know. I still subscribe.
That's right. I don't even know what to classify my children as.
I still subscribe.
Big mix of random shit.
Well, so am I. I don't even. People would say, I've been told though that I am the most insulting thing that was ever said to me once. Because I've told you I'm part Middle Eastern, right? And the most insulting thing that was ever said to me once was, well, yeah, but you're passing. Passing is what? Well, you're passing is white. Well, what the fuck kind of insulting shit is that? First of all, I don't play the like the race hustle victim game, so I don't really care. But that was like, I was like, really? So we just basically make excuses now because I say things you don't agree with and don't like. But if I said the same shit that you were on board with, all of a sudden you'd be like, oh yeah, you're a proud ally and, you know, Middle Eastern heritage and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's such a joke. It really is. And I still subscribe to the Morgan Freeman thing where it's like, you want racism to stop? Stop talking about race. It's really that simple.
Look at how quick Morgan Freeman stopped having to work.
As soon as he said that, right? Circa like 2015.
He's not in anything. He's just basically retired. That might be through his own choice. I don't know. But one last bit here, right? So people, I think that out of all of the Trumpisms that Trump has, the funniest of them all, the one that'll always get me, is when he calls Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas. That was the funniest thing.
That is the best one.
That is the funniest thing. And people will be like, that's offensive. Why are you laughing at it? I'm like, no, it's not offensive. In fact, it's the opposite of offensive. This dude's basically calling this bitch out.
And she has no Native American. I have Native American blood. This bitch got none.
She's pretending something that she's not, right? She's acting like she lives in a friggin' teepee just so she could get money, right? And people do it all the time.
Oh yeah,
you know, it just points out the hypocrisy here. It's like, oh well, you
it's
know,
weird to me when people talk about this. Sorry, yeah. I know we're dwelling on this, but it is weird to me too when people start talking about their heritages. Like if I tell, oh, you know, like I always tell people I'm the American melting pot. I'm a mutt, right? It's like, oh yeah, I got Irish, I got Scottish, I got German, I got Polish, I got Greek. You know, I got this, that, and the other thing. But then you get to like, oh yeah, you know, I'm part Turkish and I'm part Native American. Those are the two people always think are interesting. And I'm like, man, you people are so... It's like a fetish, dude. It really is. It's like, why are you... Why is that the most interesting? Like, why are those the things? Like, I have Dutch blood. That, like, my family has a coat of arms from Holland. And it's like, I think that's particularly cool. Like, following that lineage back. And then people are like, oh, yeah, no, but tell us about the Native American stuff. Like, this, that, and the other. I'm like... Why is that what you focus on? Why is it always that? What is this weird fetishization that you people have with this crap?
Don't get me into the fetishization of race, because that's a thing.
That Yeah, well,
that's a legit thing.
That is a legit thing. Yeah. Oh,
and I don't mean that. I don't mean that in like the normal way of like, oh, you know, I really like, you know,
Asian. I'm attracted to these people. No, that's not a fetish.
That's just choice. That's
you're attracted to what you're attracted to.
A preference, right? No, I'm talking about, you know, 4chan has changed so much since I used to go on it, but you go on 4chan and there are groups of people who they just get off on the idea of like,
oh God, here we go.
The woman or the man or whatever are some sort of race. Right? And you can interpret that to whatever you want, right? You can whatever race you want, whatever, but that's like an integral part of the turn on, I guess.
Which, again, I'm not gonna judge it.
Like whatever, you know, do your thing. But I don't understand. It's like that I don't know. It's fucking weird, man.
It's weird. It is weird because it's less about to me it's less about like, oh, I'm attracted to this person and we connect on some sort of emotional or personal level or whatever. And instead it's just like, yeah, I like to bone this group and this group only because, like, I agree with you. It's weird.
Let's just say there is a group of people in this world, and God bless them and more power to them, whatever. But there's a group of people in this world that get off on the idea that they're white, and therefore they're cucked in a sense, right? If black men or large or whatever. Are banging white women. That's like their thing.
Tepid
I'm
way.
I'm trying to make this sound like family friendly, right? In a way. Which again, I have no problem with this. It's not my thing. It's not for me. But that's the thing. That's like the what turns them on about it.
Yeah, but then if I were to turn around,
I did not see this 15 years ago. I did not see that on the internet. Now it's just all over the fucking place.
What's weird about it, though,
I think some people get kind of obsessed with race. Yeah, go ahead.
What's weird about it, though, is if you turn around and you say, I'm not attracted to certain things, like whatever it is, right? Like, personally, just within the same realm of quote-unquote race, I think, by and large, most of what I've seen, Japanese women are attractive. I do not find a lot of, for example, Vietnamese women attractive. Or Korean women attractive, right? But that's within the same, even just based on ethnicity, it can change. But if you say you're not attractive to a certain group, all of a sudden it's bad. But if you say you're only attracted to a group that, it's so weird, dude. I don't understand. Like, you're just attracted to what you're attracted to, and you don't need to make a big fucking display of it.
It's funny how that works for, you'd be like, well, you know, gay people, they're attracted to who they're attracted to. Okay, that's fine. Then I can't help. I'm only attracted to men. Okay, that's fine. You're attracted to men, even though you are one. But if I say I am only attracted to, say, Japanese women, which is not true, but if it were, then yeah, people would get offended. Be like, well, what about these other type of women?
Somebody else could bone them. I don't know.
what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to inject myself with the attraction serum?
I've had, and it's usually coming from women. But like I've told you the story about how my wife one time on an Air Force base, on one of the Air Force bases that we were at stationed at, was basically to use the somewhat of the language so people know what I mean, fit shamed by other wives because she goes to the gym, she takes care of herself, and she's an athletic person, she always has been, and they were like, oh my God, you know, you're making us look bad and blah blah blah. That's okay. Like, it's weird. Again, certain things are allowed and certain things are not. And that's what's weird about it to me. It's not like, I'm attracted to fit athletic women that take care of themselves. It's like, but what about this fat woman? Well, somebody else can fuck the fat woman because I'm not attracted to her. Oh, well, that's fat phobic. Yeah, well, I guess I'm fat phobic then. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, it's, if I were to say I was only attracted to fat women, people would be like, oh yeah, more power to you. But when I say I'm not, like you said, it's very weird, the lines of delineation.
You can't see what it is. You know what it is? You can't like normal. That's really all it is. No, but it's true. I mean, and people hate that I use this word. It's like, well, what do you mean? But what is like the normal standard throughout history
for humans? My wife is well above normal, right? Let me tell you.
Well, no, what I'm saying is it's normal for throughout history, throughout human history. For men to be attracted, for the most part, right, to not fat women. It doesn't. They don't even have to be skinny. They just have to be normal, right? They just have to be healthy. Some societies, no, the fatter you were, the better. Like that, but that's just a cultural thing, right? But I'm talking biologically, that's normal, right? Mm-hmm. So that's not good. That's not good. But if you're, attracted,
Because it's a sign of health
to woman with 11 fingers, right? And, oh man, you're a hero. Even though it's inconsequential, like it doesn't 11 fingers doesn't fucking matter. But because it's not normal, and everybody's got to be fucking special snowflake. Which, funnily enough, when everybody's special, nobody is, right?
Yeah. Everybody's was the Incredibles.
Yeah, basically everybody's so fucking special and unique that at the end you're not.
All right.
Anyway,
we'll move on. This one's kind of fun. So I have introduced you. I have further enriched your life, made you more of a man of culture by introducing you into various forms of metal. One of which being black metal, which I know you're a big fan of.
Yeah, that's racist.
African American metal. For those who don't know, black metal is not exactly politically correct. It does have certain, shall I say, you know, less than what I would say civil bands that borderline into the Nazi ideology. But one of the things that black metal is not is apologistic. It is there to offend you. The vocals are supposed to be harsh and sound like, you know, some dude screaming and echoing into a cave for a reason. The music is supposed to sound a little dissonant for a reason, right? There's almost like a gatekeeping nature to it. By black metal shows, for example, I have never been to a black metal show because I don't want animal blood thrown on me. This is like a known quantity with black metal, right? Like, people know what they're getting into. I don't want animal blood thrown on me. I don't want animal parts thrown on me. It's just, it's part and parcel of it. And part of it is to gatekeep people out. So the last thing I ever expected to see was a black metal band from Texas, of all fucking places, apologize to vegans for throwing a pig's head into a mosh pit. This was par for the course, as far as I knew, but this band Martyrdom back in January. This is how you kill a genre in one fell swoop, right? As soon as one band does it, they're going to be like, well, why can't you be like Martyrdom? Well, because Martyrdom is a bunch of poser pussies, that's why. Like, you're a black metal band. Why are you apologizing? By definition, the last thing you should be doing is apologizing. Black metal, my whole life, has pissed off mostly Christians, but it's also pissed off anyone with any sort of certain cultural, political, correct sensibilities, right? Pissed off Muslims, for Christ's sake. Nobody's willing to piss off Muslims. Take, a black metal band from, I want to say Norway, but I feel like that's wrong, and I feel like they might be Finnish. I can't remember. This had a song, you know, basically bashing Islam, right? Which everybody got up in arms about that. Black metal bands around the world can bash Christianity all they want, but they bash Islam one time, one band, and all of a sudden, oh, you know, all the leftists get up in arms about it. Yeah, like, people were mad. PETA was mad that they're throwing these things. This is, again, par for the course. Gorgoroth got banned in Poland for crucifying women on a stage, right? Women that were paid to do it, and they weren't even nailed to the cross, goddammit. They were tied to it.
To be fair, I mean,
they were tied to it.
You can't put nails in people.
No, they didn't. They didn't put nails, but they were tied to it, and the women were paid for it, and they were like, oh my god, I can't believe you did this to women. And it's like, they agreed to it. Like,
men as, well, no, they it's very easy to solve. They identified as men at that time.
They identified. Yeah, it's, I don't know.
I've always said the only way that you get rid of all this stupidity is just to play into it. Like, play into it to such a stupid point that it becomes so stupid, right? It's kind of like how, you know, how companies will ruin any sort of fad with young people by trying to capture it or whatever. If you just grab this nonsense and you play into it, then it's not cool anymore. Right, so it's like, oh, why did you hang women on crosses? Like, well, no, they actually identified as men at that time, right? And then they're like, oh, what do you say, right? Like, because again, then they become hypocrites. That's just a little side thing, but yeah. So I've noticed that a lot of these bands that tend to go hard, right? Now, I don't know very much about black metal, right? Mainly because I can't understand what they're saying. that's kind of there's a language barrier, right? Like, I'll listen to any black metal song and be like,
oh. Sound like that? One of the ring rate.
I need to turn on the closed captioning.
Yeah, you're always like, if you don't send me a video with lyrics in it, I'm not going to know what the hell is going on.
Yes, yes. But, you know, I can think of Rage Against the Machine, right? I remember Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, God, the biggest.
In the name. Oh, we're Rage.
The biggest fucking posers.
And I remember them, what was it, in 2020 with all the COVID stuff. And this is not because
of. Wear your mask and stay home.
Yeah, it's not because I'm against chicken, but yeah, sure. Like, if you can wear a mask to, okay, fine. But like, why is Rage Against the Machine be like, you need to do what the government is telling you because that's how you go hard. Okay, that's how you be a real rebel. Is just do whatever the government tells you.
You know what the funniest thing at this point though? It's funny you say that, the real rebel. Honestly, the biggest black metal slash punk rock slash rebel thing you can do in today's day and age right now. You might disagree with me on this. I know we've had debates about this. Is to just be an open and unapologetic Christian. That's the most counterculture thing you could be right now.
I mean, you know, I can get into Christianity as well. Christianity is such a weird topic because, again, I only know American Christianity. Right? I'm not living in freaking Middle East or whatever, where it's completely different. But Christianity to me. In the United States has become into something that's almost like I don't know what the fuck it is. You see these mega churches, right?
Oh, you know it's my stance on televangelists.
It's entertainment, dude. It's not really. It's entertainment.
No,
they spent so much. They have these huge budgets on these fucking stages, and it's all performative, right? It's like the more performative it is, the better.
That's
bands and confetti and fireworks. It's like, dude. What is going on right now?
Well, that's the whole point of the song. Metallica had a song on the Master of Puppets album called Leper Messiah, and it literally is just bashing televangelists. And James Hetfield's a Christian, but he was just bashing televangelists because it's like, that's not Christianity. This is not what that is. But you know that. I've said that. I'm just saying in a very general sense, right? Like, you have a black metal band that, by definition, black metal offends. And is meant to offend to the ears. It is meant to offend to people who have good taste, let's say. I will say that my taste is shitty.
It to the ears.
And you have this band. We are a black metal band, and as part of it, we try to add a little bit of imagery and shock value. Unfortunately, our ex got carried away. I'm reading their letter. Offending and some. We want to apologize to any vegans or Muslims or minority. Yes, Muslims. Famous black metal fans, by the way. The month of fucking
the real
Muslims.
Question is, was the pork head halal? That's the real question.
Who cares? The fact that they apologize.
It's pork.
I'll tell you what, they're going to have to stop being a black metal band and just start becoming a boy band at this point, because any black metal fan is just going to reject this outright.
I would just be offended at the fact that I had a fucking animal head thrown at me. It's not even because it's like, oh, I'm vegan. No, it's
but again,
like you said, I don't want to get covered in pig blood.
But again, like, right? I'm a black metal fan. I don't go to black metal shows because I don't want to be covered in animal viscera. Like, I know this is a thing, so I don't go.
Is Metallica a black metal band?
No, not even close. Metallica is a thrash metal band.
Is Metallica any one genre? Because it seems like they have a couple thousand songs, and
no, they don't. They only have what?
It seems to be
11 or 12. So throughout the 80s, you would say that they are thrash metal, but Metallica's always kind of blurred the lines. Metallica has Hetfield in particular has always kind of said, like, I don't really like the whole genre thing. They've been identified with thrash metal because they were so influential in it, but they cross into like traditional heavy metal, what you would call like sludge metal, which is like the 90s, like Alice in Chains kind of stuff. Blues metal, you know, which is a little bit more of like a Sabbath-y slash Motorhead-y kind of thing. They've even dabbled into like the Saint Anger album. Say What You Will About It is basically a thrash album with like some new metal elements. Like, they just do whatever the hell they want to do. But I would say most of what they do is thrash or heavy metal, like traditional heavy metal. Yes, Yes, metal. So metal subgenres are there's so many of them. Well,
now.
Dude, even and it's so stupid. I hate people that really get into it. I'm gonna be honest. Like, I've been a metal fan my entire life. You've heard me talk about, you know, metal was what me and my dad bonded over, right? And I get so pissed at people when they get into, like, you say a band, it's like, oh yeah, this is black metal. And it's like, no, it's not. This is war black metal. And it's like, you know what? You're a douchebag. That's what that means. Like, that's all that fucking means right there. Is because it's like, it's black metal. I don't care. This is black metal. This is thrash metal. This is heavy metal. Like, if your genre...
war black metal.
Like, this is going to piss off, you know, anyone that hears this that might be, like, a metal elitist. If you are talking about a genre... and you can't name more than 5 bands that are listened to on Spotify by more than like 100 people,
I agree.
Then that genre doesn't exist. I don't want to hear about your fucking brutal war, raw black metal, or your, you know, uber fucking death metal shit, whatever. You know, it's just, no, it's death metal, it's black metal, thrash metal. Like, there are definable subgenres that have definable sounds. Thrash has a definable sound. Sludge metal has a definable sound. Black metal does. Death metal does. Traditional heavy metal does. Doom metal does. But that's about it, right? I'm not going to entertain every time somebody does something that's slightly different than what other people in the genre do. And then suddenly it's like, well, this is a new genre, right? Like, there are Christian black metal bands. And I call them black metal bands, and people will be like, no, that's unblack metal. And I'm like, I'm gonna make you unalive because you are so religiously fervent about something that does not matter. The sound is the same, and if frankly, like you said, you don't understand, I've been listening to this stuff for decades, I still don't understand what they say half the time. If I didn't tell you they were Christian, you wouldn't know.
It's a new genre, it's called Messiah metal.
Messiah metal? That would probably be Stryper, honestly. Stryper, great band, by the way.
Of course, you know a band.
Well, Stryper was in the 80s, and they were doing the speed metal, heavy metal thing, and they were unapologetic Christian.
What do you call the metal with the fucking the unicorns and the and dudes going to like Valhalla and that's what I like.
Power metal?
I guess power
like
metal.
Dragon.
Yeah, there's always fucking dragons and shit. It looks like something out of like,
yeah, that's power metal.
Yeah, that's the best kind.
Power metal usually has like the really clean vocal, like Dragon Force. You're talking like Dragon Force.
Yeah,
that's power metal.
Yeah, that's the best kind.
Yeah, that's the kind you like, but you're into vocals a little bit more than I am.
Again, if I can't understand what they're saying, it's just no. And I mean, it's not always, because there's that one song I sent you. What was it called? Like, it was the one
Lamanu?
People,
the Samoan dudes.
No. It was, well, no, I sent you that, but no, there was this one about the dude calling out how medicated people are now.
Oh, Pain.
Remember that?
Or I'm sorry. Yes. He's the dude from Pain. Pain's his other band. Oh God, what's his death? That's a death metal band. I can't remember what it's called. I know what you're talking about. The heavily medicated.
But I could understand. I had to pay attention, but I understood what he was saying. So it's not 100% like, oh, if they're grunting their vocals, then I won't listen to it.
Well, that's what's great about thrash is they're not even trying to sing. They just shout. You can understand them clear as day. They just shout. Like Tom Araya from Slayer, like, you know exactly what the hell he's saying. It doesn't sound great, but it sounds perfect for them. It's like, yep, this is, you know what you're getting.
You know, I've heard a couple times, and I don't know any bands or anything off the top of my head. I just heard them randomly. But obviously, like every other genre of music, you're going to have from around the world. And I have heard Japanese metal bands. Like
Anthem.
Japanese.
Anthem's a great one.
I don't know if it's thrash metal, but like they do the same voice, right? The freaking, what do you call that when they're not singing, they're just like screaming. What is that? Is there a word?
They're just
for that?
Shouting. Well, I mean, there's like, yeah. They call them clean. So there's clean vocals and unclean vocals is basically what they get at. But unclean vocals usually is more like growling, shrieking, kind of like death metal or black metal stuff. The thrash metal stuff is usually just more shouting. But it's that would technically fall
in whatever it is. I can't understand what the hell they're saying. Like, I'm already trying, you know, I'm already listening to another language, so I have to pay attention.
There's a couple of fun Japanese bands. I know I've sent you some of the female metal bands from Japan, not like baby metal shit, but like Anthem. Anthem's a great, great Japanese metal band. Coming, I don't know if they're still around. They started up in like the 80s. And then there's
the one with the chick. Oh, no, that's
an old one. There's no chick in Anthem. And then same thing with Abigail. Abigail was labeled the most evil band in Japan in like the 90s.
Yeah,
there's
people focus now, like you said, like the baby metal. There's like baby metal spinoffs. I know Ray's band was one of them with Lady Baby or whatever. That fucking bombed because it sucked, honestly.
Yeah, you sent me that one song and I was like, this is not good.
She's in the wrong place.
God bless her for pursuing a dream, but she is not a vocalist.
Again, yes, everybody has the right to do what makes them happy, but if I was her parent, I'd be like, look, you fucked up. you had something going. You had something going, and you did something else, but that's all right.
You know,
but yeah, there's a lot of the baby metal, spin-offs or whatever. I don't like them. It's kind of dumb. I tried to listen to baby metal, and they were just not good to me.
I will say this.
It's not because they weren't going hard or whatever. I just didn't like their vocals.
To wrap this one up, I will say this. The number one rule of metal is you never apologize. Like, when I've never watched Stranger Things, but I know when they played Master of Puppets in Stranger Things, all of a sudden everybody was gunning for Metallica, right? Because Metallica, a lot of people forget, when they got signed in 81 or whatever it was, they were like 16, like 15, 16 years old. I think Kirk Hammett was probably like 14 at the time. And it's, you know, young guys are going to do young guy things. And I saw people were sending me videos from like TikTok and all kinds of stuff. And it's like, oh my God, Metallica did this in the 80s. They did this in the 90s. And it's stuff of like Jason Newsted, one of their bassists at one point, was doing like, to make fun of something, he was doing like the Nazi salute and like doing like the Nazi march with like the straight leg shit. James Hetfield would take like these cookies that were kind of angled, and he's like, hey guys, it was like on video, and he's like, hey guys, look at me, and he puts it in front of his eyes and he goes like ching chong bing bong, and people are like, oh my God, this is so offensive. And Metallica did exactly what this band Martyrdom is the black metal band we've been talking about, and Metallica did exactly what you're supposed to do, which is not even give it the time of day. Just ignore it. Keep doing your thing. Don't apologize. Don't even acknowledge it. Be like, fuck off, we're gonna keep doing our thing. And that's it.
It should be like that for everything. Like, don't get me wrong. If you mess up, right? If you do something that, you know, you shouldn't have done, like, yeah, sure, own up to it. Apologize. If it's a legitimate apology. Don't just be like these fucking YouTubers that are like, okay, guys, it's been so hard for me, and I just want to say I'm sorry. Like, that's bullshit. That's not real. But yeah, dude, what is it with, you know, these people apologizing for shit that they did decades ago, especially when it wasn't even a big deal back then, right? Like, people apologizing for comedians apologizing for jokes that were normal, that everybody laughed at 20 years ago, and they're like, well, I'm sorry, I was ignorant back then. It's like, no, you weren't. That's just a joke, right? Whatever. I can get into it, but you know what just kind of crossed my mind randomly as we're talking about this? I remember when MTV and shit, right? You remember that, like, that subculture of young people, of teenagers and shit, that were really into skating?
Yeah.
Right? I
X Games kind of shit.
But yes, and
you know, I was into skateboarding in high school, so I'm familiar. I was into skateboarding.
So you might be familiar, right? So there was dudes like really into, of course, Tony Hawk and the bigger guys. But then there was also this subculture around it with like with Bam Margera, right?
Oh God. CKY,
his crew of retards, yeah.
Yeah, CKY. Can't kill yourself. That's what that stands for, by the way. The band, yeah, CKY, yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, very famous on like the Tony Hawk soundtracks. CKY stands for can't kill yourself. Like, that's what that was. This is what bands used to name themselves. You could never do that these days.
Well, that's what I'm getting into, right? I remember seeing these dudes, and they were huge followers of fucking Bam Margera, and then, you know, eventually became people of Bam and Jackass and this and that, and it's all connected. And these are the same people which are now 30 or 40 years old crying about everything. Offensive. This is bad. It's like, what the fuck happened to you, bro?
Yeah.
Like, in your teenage years up until your 20s, you were all about, like, fuck the man, you know, do this stuff because it's fun and it's whatever, and we don't give a fuck. And now they're 20, 30 years older.
You know.
And they just live in these bubbles, and they just cry about everything.
There's something to be said. Somebody said to me, I actually had somebody say to me from listening to an episode, somebody had messaged me actually on Twixer and had said something about, like, oh, you know, it sounds like you say you're pushing 40 and it sounds like you never really grew up. And I'm like, all right, let me clarify this. And this may be a good opportunity. Look, I'm not doing the same shit I was doing at 20 or 18 or 16. Like, obviously you mature, right? But that doesn't mean you become soft. It doesn't mean you start apologizing for everything. And it doesn't mean that you tiptoe around people's sensibilities. You just need to be direct, right? Just speak your mind, be clear, be articulate, be direct, and don't worry about what the ramifications of somebody's feelings are. Offenses, hell, my grandmother used to say this, it's a cliche, and it's as true as it was when I was a kid and she was raising me, and as it is now. There's a reason why it's called take offense, because it's not given. Nobody is given offense. You take offense because it's on you that you're upset over what someone said or did. If they're not putting their hands on you, or they're not violating any of your rights or anything like that, any of your private whatever, like, then it's on you. If I say a joke and you don't like the joke, like, obviously workplaces have their rules and everything. I'm in the military, guys, so I fucking know all about workplace rules.
Like, you know what? Sorry to interrupt you there.
Go ahead.
I have a phrase that I use all the time, and I do use it at work, right? That phrase is very simple. Right
grow
place,
a pair.
The right time. No, right place.
No, right I agree. I agree with you.
Right.
I agree with you.
I'm not a PC person. I'm not a PC person at all. Right. I don't care what anybody. There's nothing anybody could say. Nothing that anybody could say, like, speak, that will offend me. I'll be like, no, this crosses the line. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. There's nothing you could say. There's nothing you could draw. There's nothing that you could make into a game or a visual or nothing at all. But right place at the right time. You cannot expect to. And I expect this of everybody, right? This is why I'm so hard with, like, the leftists, because they're the ones that seem to have lost the fucking plot, right?
Well, they double standard everything.
You can't walk into wherever the fuck you want in a thong. You can't. I don't care if you're a man, a woman, whatever the fuck, he/she, you just can't, because we have societal standards, right? You can't walk into your workplace, you can't walk into a fucking school in a thong. You can't. Now, if you want to do that at the fucking thong convention, dude, fucking knock yourself out. I don't care. Yep. Maybe I'll be there, depending how many chicks are there, right? Maybe I'll be there. It's a sausage fest, I won't be there. And I told this to, like, dudes.
Never the people you want to see, let's be real.
We don't have any women in our office. Which is good in the sense that we don't have to, you know, tiptoe around shit, right? We don't have to, like, oh, fuck, we might step on the shards here. Which, unfortunately, just the nature of the beast is that when there's women in the workplace, you have to be careful what you say, because they get more offended. Right? Not every woman, but a lot of women get more offended. You remember that, right?
Yep.
remember the
trust me.
Specific examples, right, that we saw. So we don't have any women. So the guys in the office, they're young guys, they're, like, you know, in their early 20s, and sometimes they just go too crazy, right? And I'm like, look, I don't give a fuck what you guys talk about. I don't care. I'm not offended. But you have to know the right place at the right time. You can't be doing that shit when we have somebody of high rank or whatever coming into the office. You gotta fucking relax. You gotta be quiet, because it's not the right time, right? And they'll be, oh, well, you know, you can't, you're being a hypocrite because you always talk this shit. I'm like, yeah, dude, but I don't do that.
Well, it goes back to, I'll do that. There's, and people, and the leftists particularly warp this saying, but free speech doesn't mean freedom from consequences, right? Like, you can say whatever you want whenever, but you can definitely get in trouble for it. However, the leftists pervert that into saying, if you say anything that anyone ever finds offensive, you should face consequences for that. And that's where I disagree. Like, if I want to, like, use my fingers to, like, stretch my eyes out and say ching chong bing bong, and you get offended by it, it's like, sure, maybe I'm an asshole, but who cares?
I mean, and people, you know, if you do that, if you go outside and do ching chong bing bong, maybe people will avoid you. That's fine. People don't have to associate with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no, they don't.
That doesn't mean that you need to get disappeared. That's the thing. That's what they want. They want if they could press a button and then you just disintegrate fucking, what the hell was that from? Kingdom Hearts or Final Fantasy where like the dude disintegrates or whatever? And I don't know. There's that joke online. If they could press a button and then you just disintegrate into thin air, they would do it. Be like, oh, he said a naughty word. Button, and then you're just like, oh no, I'm disappearing. That's what they want, right? I'm not saying that if you say some racist shit or whatever that you don't have, you're gonna have the consequences, right? But that's kind of what I've noticed. It's been about 30 minutes and I haven't said something about Japan, so something's wrong here. I've noticed the difference, right?
We set a record.
Japan's not a place where you can just do whatever you want. It's not. In fact, well, it might be a place that's it's more restrictive on what you can do in public. Here's the difference. If you do something stupid in public in Japan, people will just avoid you. They'll just be like, look at that fucking weirdo. And they'll just walk to the other side of the road, right? Because they're not afraid of offending you. They'll walk to the other side of the road or whatever. And you will notice that people will avoid you if you're doing some weird shit. Versus here, recently, it's like, no, we have to put all the attention on this person and make it into a war, right? It has to be a fucking battle. And it's stupid because you could just, if you just didn't give people the light of day, and maybe they stop being stupid, right? Because they'd be like, oh, I guess what I'm doing is separating me from everybody. But you give them attention, and maybe some people want that, right? That's what they want. They want attention. So they do even dumber shit. and there you have social media. So
I think
that's my little take on that.
No, I think that's a good place to wrap up too. I actually have like one more topic, but I wanted this to be like an hour, and we've gone for almost 2 hours, so
yeah, I've only got about 10 minutes at this point.
Yeah, so we'll wrap it up there. I that's our little catch up. It'll probably be another month before we do another episode because, yep. Well, that's just how the dad life goes, and that's an interesting thing. I do want to at some point have a talk with you about the whole fatherhood thing because it is wild.
Yeah, that would be an interesting topic,
especially in nowadays because I've noticed. Especially the fact that apparently there's so many videos out there just nowadays how to be a man, something that used to just be taught, right? Like you're, but whatever. Another time, another place. So we'll wrap up there. If you happen to sit through this entire thing, we appreciate you guys taking the time. It's good to be back, even if only temporarily for a little bit. Wish me luck dealing with the baby and the toddler and the wife and all of it, because it can certainly be draining sometimes. So you got any last words, man?
In that order. It's good to talk about stuff. And hopefully by the time that we do another one of these, the world has not gone even fucking more off the wazoo than it is. It just seems to get crazier. I don't know if it's the world is getting crazier or it's just like because of the internet, we just see the crazy shit up in front and center. I don't know, but...
I don't think the world's any crazier, but I think a lot of the crazy is coming kind of to a head, if that makes sense.
I think there's too much legitimization of the crazy. It used to be, again, you used to be able to point at people and be like, haha, look at that fucking idiot, you know, doing stupid shit. Now it's like, no, let's give him a microphone. He has something to say.
My great hope is that when things normalize out, that's it actually funny. Just settles into like a centered normality as opposed to just the pendulum swinging in the opposite direction. That's my big fear, is that we just get caught in this rapid backlash.
Just to end on that note, that's what we're seeing right now. It's becoming, hey, now because of people doing so much crazy shit, especially when it comes to sexual stuff, we're becoming prudes again. And that's something I hate, you know, and it's unfortunate, yeah. But I mean, I get why we're getting there. I get why people are getting to that.
We can have a very interesting conversation about that and certain online people that got caught with certain things. I think that would be interesting. But anyway, yeah, we'll call it there. It is late. I am tired. I'm going to be up early in the morning. Anyway, I'm HVK. That's Knack. You guys take it easy. The end.